About 1% of the general population meets the clinical criteria for psychopathy, and they will often find their way to the top of the food chain in business, finance, media, and you can be certain, government. Now, they're happy to watch the world burn so they can rule the ashes, but the rest of us, the overwhelming majority, just want to get on with our lives. Enough food, water, warmth, and shelter for us and our loved ones. The freedom to express ourselves and our views, maybe a holiday a year and a few social beers on the weekend. The majority of the world's population would be more than happy with that, or at least a slight variation of it. You know, maybe you don't drink, maybe you go out mountain climbing on the weekend, but you get my point. But there is one other thing that everyone wants, even needs, and it's become the Achilles heel that threatens the achievement of all the previous very simple desires, and that is the need for safety. We need to feel safe, that our family's safe, that our job is safe, our food supply, energy supply, health, and so on and so on. Dangers threaten that safety, and that's how the small percentage of psychopaths have managed to keep the masses in check for centuries. Frighten the population, then offer to protect the population from the danger you've created, whether it's an actual danger or just the illusion of one. It's a protection racket. And all they demand for that protection is what little disposable money you have. Now, in the case of many, they've already had that, and they're now moving on to the rest of it. But they also want what little freedom you or previous generations haven't already given away. See, freedom and money have always been offered as the solution to the problem the psychopaths have propagandized you to fear. After all, toxic air in London's fixed with £12.50, isn't it? It's becoming more and more apparent every time you switch on the news or scroll down your social media timeline. You need to fear a virus, so give up your medical freedom, your freedom not to cover your face, your freedom to leave the house, your freedom to express an opinion even, account suspended. And by shutting down the economy and decimating small businesses, they're hitting you in the pocket. Prices have gone up, disposable income's all but vanished for most people. Then the next fear was nuclear war. Putin went into Ukraine just as the COVID narrative was dying a death in the minds of many. Support and interest in the pandemic story was waning, and so we needed a new fear, nukes. And since that day, we've watched our tax pounds and dollars disappear into the pockets of a B-list comedian in a green trackie. And we've watched the cost of fuel and energy go through the roof. But we've all got to do our bit, haven't we, to stop Putin? That's what we're told. But there was no freedom of choice there. Did you vote to hand over billions to Zelensky? Did you vote to send fighter jets and military hardware that will ensure the war rumbles on, escalates even? Because I didn't, but it's happening regardless. Collapsing concrete is closing down schools and businesses and even threatens to close down airports, with Gatwick and Heathrow said to contain these lethal materials. So we best stop traveling then. It's too dangerous, isn't it? Better still, why not pull them all down? Replace them with brand new high-rise glass and steel high-tech buildings. Empty the public purse if you can, if Vladimir has left you any money in there. And even if he hasn't, just borrow some more off the banksters and raise taxes so we can pay the interest. Lovely jubbly. And then comes the centerpiece, the final most powerful horcrux, the ever-reliable go-to fear and money spinner, climate change. After a dismal July and August, the UK was treated to a weekend of sunshine in September. But were we allowed to enjoy it? Of course not. The media bobbleheads and Club of Rome fluffers were all out in front of the microphone to tell us the end of the world was nigh. Unless, of course, and you guessed it, we give up some freedoms and we give up some money. Predictable. Businesses are set to be punished if they don't comply with net zero insanity. And there's even talk of jail time for those that don't go along with it. Now, net zero is crippling businesses. It's driving up already inflated energy costs as a nation that sat on oil and coal reserves is forced to depend on wind and solar. Unless you're China, of course, they're exempt. But all this matters not to those that fly around in private jets pontificating about the damage humans are causing to the planet. The whole thing's a scam. And with the help of some misguided do-gooders with purple hair sporting orange vests, the hoax is negatively affecting more and more people. Just this week, a climate scientist in America called Dr. Patrick Brown said that he left out findings in his study of wildfires so he could get it published, because he knew he wouldn't get it published if he went against the doomsday cult narrative and surmised that these fires were actually the product of arson. And Brown will be far from the only one. In fact, there's been many that have sacrificed their careers to try and publish their genuine findings. toe the party line, get funding, tell the truth, get booted. And then they tell the masses that 97% of scientists believe that the humans are killing the planet, and people lap it up, despite the figure being absolute nonsense. What can we do about it, they ask? Well, you'd have to get off the land. That needs rewilding. Move into your little box in the tech smart 15-minute city. Stop traveling, stop driving, stop eating meat, stop using cash, stop having kids, stop living. We are the carbon they seek to reduce. It's our footprint they wish to eradicate. And now they wish to demoralize, tyrannize, marginalize, and euthanize the people with another bout of the Rona. As I said last week, it only flies when the people comply. So let's give them the finger. Can you see a repeat of 2020 happening again? You know, when we spoke before off air, you were talking about the fact that masks are very much back in California. Can you see mandates and new fake vaccine mandates coming back? And if so, do you think that we're better prepared now to fight against them?
Well, I hope not. I hope that there is not a repeat of the pandemic. However, it feels very much like that's the direction that we're going in. And I see people putting on masks. And I will say, and I don't want to, you know, scare any of your listeners, but there's something weird going on. I can tell you in New York City right now, where they're like, so the Ebola vaccine was actually just approved last month for children ages 1 and above. And that's a really kind of freaky thing to think that, you know, Ebola, that's really serious. But in New York City just last month, they did this whole training exercise in all of the New York City hospitals of what would happen if there was an Ebola or a Marburg pandemic outbreak. And are they prepared for that? And when I hear things like that, it's just kind of concerning, because I remember, I very much remember that in October of 2019, there was Event 201. And are you familiar with Event 201?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So they did this like whole fake pandemic before the pandemic happened. And they did this whole like rundown of what would America or what would the world look like if there was this pandemic. And that came out of Johns Hopkins. And it was exactly as the way it all happened. You know, they showed in this fake pandemic, this like practice exercise about, well, all the airports are going to shut down and the schools are going to close and it's going to be a coronavirus. And that was in the fall of 2019. Suddenly, a few months later, we're in a full-blown pandemic, and it's exactly playing out the way that Event 201 showed. And so, you know, it's a bit concerning to me that right now in New York, they're all doing this like fake Ebola exercises. What are they actually preparing for? So I pray to God that that's not the direction that this is going in. But I just find it really weird that hospitals are getting ready and going through those exercises for Ebola and Marburg. It's scary.
Yeah, this is something that I haven't heard anyone talk about, but I think it's a very serious thing. And that is the use of AI. I think I have discovered through my investigations that social media and the big tech companies are actively using AI to manipulate people, and especially they're targeting teens. And so I have an example. My son, when he was going through some pretty hard times a few years ago, and he was working as a cook, and he was very depressed and angry one day, and he was listening to a particular song over and over again all day. And then at the end of the day, he stopped working, went out, looked at TikTok, and then he saw a meme that came up and says, when you're a line cook and you're listening to Rotten Apples, which is the song he was listening to, 24 hours a day, and you want to kill yourself. And that's the meme that he saw. And I contend, and I think there's a ton of evidence that says This meme was created in real time by AI with a specific purpose, and that purpose was to push them over the edge. And if you look at some of the investigations that 60 Minutes has done, TikTok offers a spinach version of TikTok to the people in China, but they offer an opium version to the people in the West. And it's not just TikTok doing this. It's the World Economic Forum. It's the CIA. It's Facebook. It's Google. All of these people are using AI to target our kids and to take them down a rabbit hole. And AI gives them tremendous power that they've never had before.
That is extraordinary. So did you report that? And or is there even anywhere that you can report something like that?
Well, I mean, it's who do you report it to? I mean, you can't prove it. I can't prove it. But I think it's very clear, especially if you look at places like Leonardo.ai. If you go, anyone can go to Leonardo.ai and type and become a member and just type in some words saying, okay, a line cook, an angry line cook listening to music, and it will generate a picture, a very good picture. And so AI's capability of generating content on the fly instantly is amazing. So I mean, it is no doubt, there is no doubt that this is happening and they are targeting our teens.
But what do you think the main causes of disease, the main causes of disease are? Because when you look around the world, you know, it's all you hear about, you know, cancer's on the rise, there's this. And I'm with you in the sense of this Health You project. It's like, instead of looking for someone in a white coat to fix it, how can I fix it?
Yeah.
One, because I don't trust those people, and two, because actually I want to be responsible for my own well-being anyway.
Yes. So, you know, with this, what you're saying is it's key. And if you look at the what they, quote unquote, they have done, is build a system based on disempowerment and dependency.
Yeah.
And the reverse engineering process is building empowerment and self-dependence. And that's the essence, that the distilled essence of Healthy Project is that. And it's raising consciousness. Once we raise consciousness, it's game over. I mean, the whole thing crumbles like a house of cards. So the key is to raise consciousness right now. Now, what is the cause of disease? And that's a huge question, right? But I would say the great majority of, let me start from something I commonly present to my patients when this comes up, you know, in the particulars of the individual that's visiting with me.
Yeah.
It's something like I am standing exactly where my feet took me. So whatever I'm manifesting today, whatever my body is showing up, to this point, it has been looked as random events and bad luck, when in reality is I am manifesting the sum of all my actions, all my habits, all my inactions, everything that has defined me to this point. So what defines me through life is my exchange with the environment. So if that exchange with the environment has built up to me showing up a sickness right now, right, I can say from this understanding, I can say the great majority of diseases are environmental.
Right, okay.
So
more the terrain theory then?
Totally, yeah. The terrain theory, yes. And I think right now it's there is a big revival between Bashan Pasteur
100%.
Debate.
100%.
And the understanding is shifting. The outside element, I mean, it's a very convenient model if I sell you the solution, right?
Yeah.
It's like, listen, you're powerless. This is all chance and the outside elements. So if you come across them, oh, well, okay, I have the solution for you.
Yeah.
Very convenient.
Three fantastic injections a year.
Yes. Yeah. Or whatever, you know, or this medication or that. But when we start looking and saying, okay, you know, these elements, these toxins, these good things, bad things, whatever, but I am the one running the show. When I come to the realization of empowerment, that's a huge game changer.
This week, the FDA in the United States approved shiny new COVID vaccines from Pfizer and Moderna. More DNA-altering juice for the non-player characters to pump into their ever-narrowing veins. And people doubted the Rona was back. So the USA approves new jabs, and of course the MHRA in the UK will follow suit, along with every other so-called regulatory body in the world. Because you see, these agencies that approve these horrendous products are funded by the very people that are trying to get the products approved. The FDA receives 75% of its funding from the pharmaceutical industry. The MHRA, the UK's equivalent, receives funding from Bill Gates, a man that makes enormous amounts of money from the very drugs that the MHRA he helps to fund approve for the market. Big Pharma owns all 22 players and the referee. It's another racket. A drug cartel armed with media fear porn and compromised politicians rather than AK-47s. But we're better prepared now than we were 3 years ago. People are wiser than they were, granted not all, but in larger numbers. People have armed themselves with knowledge that they not only didn't have 3 years ago, but they wouldn't actually have been interested in 3 years ago. People are battle hardened. I went into a barber shop this week to get my ears lowered, and the place was full of lads that know nothing about me or my beliefs, but suddenly they shifted the conversation to the world we find ourselves in. Now, it took me by surprise, as barbershop conversations are normally, what did you do at the weekend? Did you see the football? Where are you off to on your holidays? You know, that sort of generic stuff. Instead, I was sat there in a room full of young lads, all unjabbed, all seeing through the nonsense, all refusing to eat crap or drink council juice, electing instead for bottled water, and it gave me hope. See, the desperation of the self-appointed elites to push through their agenda has woken many to what is going on. They locked people in their homes and people started looking at alternative information to basically pass the time, on a lot of occasions, I think. And that information resonated, because truth does resonate differently. It smells different, tastes different. They wanted a great reset and they got a great awakening. Now, that's not to mean that things won't get spicy at times this winter. They'll be sure to throw a monster truck of propaganda our way to try and test our resolve. But I'm genuinely confident that the sleeping giant is starting to wake. Good night.